No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
Developers.
Since the prehistoric ages and the days of ancient Greece, walk down to the Middle Ages. Planet Earth kept going through changes, and then the Renaissance came. The times continue to change. Nothing stayed the same, but there were always renegades.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Coliseum Podcast. Today we are joined by a very anonymous guest, Prophet, co-founder of the MetaDAO project. MetaDAO is a project that's working to bring Futarchy on chain to potentially replace governance token voting. Prophet has been sort of doing some really cool and interesting things in the Solana ecosystem alongside a few others. I think personally, it's one of the more interesting projects in the space right now. So since Twitter's down, we're going to go ahead and do a podcast, introduce you to Prophet, talk about a lot of things today. So Prophet, what's up, man? How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. I was really hoping that we were going to have the actual suit today, the one from Breakpoint. That was, I think you guys had it at Mountain Dew as well.
Yeah, I actually don't know where it is currently.
Somebody swiped it.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. So yeah, before we really dive in like too deeply about like a lot of the stuff that I know you're going to want to talk about, which is MetaDAO project, Futarchy, and some other sort of exciting things you're working on right now, is I sort of wanted to just chat a little bit about your sort of experience as a founder. So just going to ask a few questions around that. And so with MetaDAO project, are you a first time founder?
Yes, I'm a first time founder. I've only been an engineer before.
Okay, cool. So you launched MetaDAO project last year?
Yeah, we could call that. Like, people started noticing it in like February of 2024. Let's call it like a year ago is when things started picking up.
It was at Mountain Dew, wasn't it? When people really started to sort of pick. Yeah. Okay. I remember this. I remember now. I do remember that specifically. That was a really interesting time because like, I knew about MetaDAO and what you guys were doing sort of like lightly. I mean, I think I saw your profile picture around and like, I was like, who the hell is this guy? And then I like started to hear about your project. Then I was at Mountain Dew, and that's when sort of like Barrett and a handful of other guys that really sort of got to talk to you were like, holy shit, this is really cool. And then everybody went crazy for a while. Mm-hmm. The whole experience for that. So like you've actually raised some funds. Actually, Coliseum was like one of the earlier investors in MetaDAO. But I kind of want to understand like how that experience has been, because like what you're doing is like sort of like very unique. It's not one of these sort of everybody gets it out of the gate. It's guaranteed sort of like revenue, you know, like VCs banging down your door type of stuff. But you did actually get an investment from Paradigm, right?
That's correct. Yep.
What's that experience been like? You're a first-time founder. You're doing something that's like incredibly unique on the blockchain right now, trying to change the entire paradigm around how decisions are made through governance on the blockchains, which has historically been the token voting. But it takes somebody with a lot of foresight and interested to invest in something that's not absolutely clear what the end result is going to be for something like that. So what was that journey like for you in the early days of just trying to get attention and get people to like pay attention and invest in MetaDAO so that you guys had the runway you needed to just go into this full time?
Yeah, I would say when I started, I really didn't know what I was doing. My original marketing, like my first like, oh, let's get people excited about this, is I posted a white paper in the Anchor Discord and the random channel. And I was like, okay, now people will find out about MetaDAO and like get excited. And that didn't work. And I tried basically for like a year threw things against the wall, trying to find ways to get people excited about this idea, because I wanted to launch MetaDAO as a DAO and have many human participants, which is hard if it's just you. And yeah, what ended up working was like reply guying on Twitter to various people in the Solana ecosystem, and then also writing like some blog posts about Futurki. But yeah, I would say at the start, I really didn't know what I was doing, and like slowly figured it out through trial and error.
Now that I'm thinking about it, because like you are such a unique project, that maybe it is important that we sort of just like you give a quick and dirty version for those people listening or watching that don't understand what MetaDAO project is or have never heard of Futurki, just to like help fill in some context as we talk about like you founding and all these things and why it may have been like challenging for you to do that, just because. So just briefly, like, what is the MetaDAO project, and then like what is Futurki and like how they sort of work together to be on chain?
Sure. So I guess I'll start with Futurki, which is a new governance system where markets, instead of voters, are the ones actually making the decisions. So kind of you can think of it as like prediction markets, only instead of prediction markets, it's decision markets. And then MetaDAO is the poly market of that analog, where, yeah, MetaDAO is the world's first Futurki. So it's actually not idea, but we're the first one. And then it's also the dominant platform today for people to create and participate in Futurkis.
Right. And you, so this idea is not new. Like, it didn't come with MetaDAO project. This, like, Futurki itself was an idea that came from somebody in an entirely different world for an entirely different purpose.
Correct. Yeah. Robin Hanson. So he's an economist at George Mason University, and he's actually now an advisor to MetaDAO because we raised a proposal for him to become an advisor, and the markets passed it.
Oh, yeah. I saw that proposal. I didn't realize that it passed. That's awesome.
Yep.
So, yeah, so you're building this thing. You're trying to change the way that governance happens on blockchains. You know, there's always a lot of problems. There's, you know, there's a lot of noise and very little signal you're seeing. You see a lot of lack of people voting. And as you're going through that sort of founder journey, you're like, I have no idea what we're doing. You haven't really raised any money yet. Like, what's your pitch to people on, like, why they would invest in this? Like, what is the vision, like the early vision for you to, you know, get somebody to invest money that actually inspects at some point in time that like this is going to be a worthwhile investment to them? Because it sounds like that may have been tricky talking to most people in general.
I mean, I don't actually think I had an investment pitch. I was bootstrapped and I was fine being bootstrapped. I really had more of like a participation pitch, or why this thing actually could get traction and become dominant.
Right.
Which was essentially just like, in the long run, what really matters is institutions and like how decisions are made. And I think like people don't sufficiently index on this. Like, most people think if you're building a startup, the most important thing is your product. Like, that really is kind of the startup, and that's what you're pitching. I would say, like, yes, that's true to some extent, but then think about how VCs will evaluate things like team. And because they know that, like, if this product doesn't work, like, you may have to pivot to something else, and like how quality your pivot is will likely depend on your team. And when you look at a lot of the super successful technology companies, like, yeah, Amazon, Netflix, Google, Facebook, all of them have like really interesting organizational innovations. Whereas like most companies do not do anything interesting organizationally. Like Facebook, for example, allows engineers to, like, anyone can publish a patch to Facebook, they do this like canary deployment thing where essentially you publish your patch of Facebook to, like, and it goes to 0.1% of people or 0.01% of people. And then if it does well along their metrics, like if people are more engaged, then it gets pushed to more, and then it, so on and so forth, until it's 100% of the site, which is like pretty radical, right? That's not how most companies build software. Most companies have like top-down management where, like, yeah, CEO appoints people who then decide what gets built. And then Futurki is this radically like new paradigm shift in institutions, like in how things are governed. And so much pitch of the time, because yeah, MetaDAO, actually at that point, there was no product that we were discussing. We landed on eventually turning Futurki into a product itself. But like at the start, it was more just we have this institution that is itself governed by Theotarchy, and that's cool because the institution actually matters a lot more than people think it does.
Right. Yeah, I get that. So you're kind of saying that you sort of had this passion and maybe even obsession with this sort of idea of governance on chain, and you sort of just vibed your way into some investments, and people were just, you know, like, it's weird because that was around the time when like Pump.Fun was launching, you know, I think roughly. And, you know, everybody's talking about tokens and like this revenue and just, you know, like that whole crazy side of it. And then here you are, something that's sort of just out of left field and pretty like just different than everything. And you still had people paying attention, which I think says a lot about what you're trying to do, because it caught the attention of some pretty big people. And I don't know if that's luck, if that's, I don't know what it is, but it's still pretty impressive in my opinion, for that to catch on. And it seems like you've somehow managed to also build a cult around you. And I had Hard Hat Chat on here last time. We talked about that, and it's like having a cult of people that are sort of also obsessed with your idea is insanely important. And, you know, and I see it all the time.
I would probably not characterize it as a cult. I actually, for a long time, I had cult leader, like aspiring cult leader, in my Twitter bio, and I removed it because I don't really like the vibe of, I mean, I think a cult is like very, it revolves around the leader. I actually think with MetaDAO, I mean, I'm sure there's some of that, right? If people like really didn't like me, they probably wouldn't be so highly engaged in the community.
Right.
But I think it is just like Theotarchy legitimately is just such an amazing idea. And it really could change the way that civilization operates. And so once someone understands that, like, I feel like for a certain type of person, it's hard not to become like highly engaged in the community.
Right. And I guess like when I say cult, I don't mean a cult around yourself. I meant a cult around like what you're trying to do. Because, you know, I think we use cult differently in crypto. Mm-hmm. I kind of disagree that like, it's like a cult around an idea, not like of this,
right,
like Charles Manson type person or something like
right,
that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, regardless, you've built a huge following, you know, like I see people talking about it all the time. And you've sort of, well, I don't know if I necessarily, it's hard for me to assess whether like the product market fit is officially like there for you, you know, like you've had some throats, you're like starting to experiment. Would you consider, or you are right now already, like product market fit, or like, are you on your way to it, or how do you view that?
No, we're definitely pre-PMF right now. I mean, I think today MetaDAO is, yeah, like there's this classic mental model of vitamins versus medicine, which is like, yeah, some products are vitamins, like maybe they're kind of nice, but they're not medicine, as in you don't truly need them.
Right.
Like Jito, for example, is, yeah, a user of MetaDAO and Theotarchy. Jito is an extremely competent team. Like, yes, they want to be decentralized, and so I think that's the value prop to them. But I don't know if they're going to make that much better decisions giving power to the market, because they're already making pretty darn good decisions. What I'm excited about, what we're currently building a launch pad, is that that's like a truly 10x unlock, where like, yeah, people previously used to get rugged on ICOs, and this at least should reduce the incidence of that,
yeah,
by like an order of magnitude.
Yeah, let's dive into that a little bit later. I want to save the juicy like new stuff
for sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to front run you.
No, it's all good. I just want to make sure that like we sort of, because all this other stuff we're talking about, sort of good information, it sort of leads sort of down that path that you've been going through, like, you know, just up like loving Theotarchy and wanting it to get on chain, got a bunch of people interested. You've sort of like built a bunch of believers. I think Barrett might be your biggest fan out there, because he talks about it nonstop. But the more recently though, I think I saw that you guys are now doing something with MountainDAO, which seemed really cool.
Yeah, that's actually
this is part of the whole thing.
I mean, this will front run you again, but yeah, they're actually the first project to launch on a launch pad through awesome. Mountain Capital.
Looking forward to sort of understanding a little bit more about that. So this, over the course of like the last, you said people started to pay attention around February, the last MountainDAO, like what's the last, 12 months been like for you, especially with all the noise? Like, is that good or is that bad for you as you're trying to sort of get people to pay attention to what you're doing and participate in your governance voting?
Clarify what you mean by noise.
Just talking about meme coins all day long, basically.
I see.
The whole entire space sort of focused on that side of things versus trying to truly change the way that things are happening on chain with the voting and the governance.
I mean, yeah, I would say there are competitive pressures for attention. I mean, maybe if it wasn't meme coins, I'd be competing with something else. But yeah, there's that. I guess, what has the process been like? So in February, that was when Coliseum, they raised a proposal to the DAO to swap 250K in and receive native token meta back. And so we had some funds and we used that to build the original product. We actually built it in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, for various reasons, including the fact that it was like easier to get visas for people who were outside the US there than it was for within the US.
And you're a team of how many? And you're a team of how many?
Right now, call it like four, actually five if you include our Twitter intern. But yeah, so we built our product in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and then launched it and got like a few initial partners. We got Drift, Dean's List, and Feature. Those were the three initial DAOs who were like on the governance platform. And then I came back to the US. I came back to San Francisco for like a month where I was just talking to all the VCs to get them excited about the idea. And we'd raised a proposal to MetaDAO to allow us to sell some percentage of the tokens in the treasury in order to develop the product. And yeah, we ended up during like the month I was here, I ended up meeting Paradigm and they were excited about the idea. And so they, decided to, buy tokens along with some other people, like some other, cool angel people. And, then after that we moved to San Francisco and have pretty much been working on the core governance platform and, now on the state product since then.
Yeah, I guess like probably then, like, as I described sort of the noise of stuff, like you're on Twitter sometimes, but you're probably not on there like the rest of us, which is like all the time. I guess maybe some of that gave
I'm
you
definitely
some
pretty chronically on Twitter.
Like, are you?
I think so. Don't see, like, on my phone, I get to see how much time I spend on Twitter, but and that's not horrendous, but most of my time is on my computer and I don't get to see it, but I imagine, it's a lot.
I try to like justify like not being on Twitter by when I look at my phone, I'm like, I was only in there 2 hours today, like knowing that I was actually like on additional six on my computer too. I just pretend like that's not true. That's exactly what I was looking for, to sort of understand that process. Like, so going through that, like from the rate to the idea to the interest to the raising, like over the last 12 months or up between February of 2024 and now, like, what's been some of the most challenging portions of this? Has it been easy? Has it been hard? Is there anything issues that you've had along the way outside of just attention?
There are lots of things that are more painful than I imagined. Like hiring, for example. Yeah, I did not know how to hire. I assumed if you have this really cool idea and you pay money to people to work on it, they'd like jump for joy and immediately want to go work on that. And I think, it's just like very, very hard to find and recruit talented, like extremely talented people. And I've been learning how to do that. But, marketing, I think, is also not something that naturally comes to me. So I've been working on that. But yeah.
The hiring part, I don't know, like I started to see a lot more of it lately. Like, we have more devs that know Solana than ever right now, but that doesn't mean like you have the right people for your team. Like, I want to talk a little bit more about that on like the challenge that you're talking about. Like, what, like as a new founder, somebody else who's coming in to build something on here, like what challenges is it? Is it just that this the sheer volume of people, there's just, you can't find the exact what you're looking for. What was the actual issues or challenges you had on the hiring part?
The main challenge was not anything external. It was just myself. I don't think I allocated sufficient time to hiring. And I'm now rectifying that. Really, a co-founder should be spending at least 25%, maybe like 50% of their time on hiring before the team is built out. And I was not doing that. I was probably spending like 5 to 10% of my time, and most of the time on like building product.
You're probably better off just going to Mountain Dell 30 days or 60 days, like two times a year, and just hiring directly out of there than spending your time online with a lot of just CVs that might not make sense.
Yeah, I think Mountain Dell is like a good place. Yeah, we had a few like strong candidates there. Yeah, Mountain Dell is a good place.
They say that like your first few hires are sort of like can make or break an organization if you don't get that right. So it's important that people sort of understand, because I hear it all the time. But I think people with your network, you know, and just sort of know the type of person that you want. I guess it just sounds like you just should have spent more time on it. Now you have to make up for it.
Yep, exactly. But I will say, so like it is mostly my internal. I do think probably to speak of external factors, that it probably tendency of people who have been in something for a while to be like, oh, back in the good old days, right? Like back in the good old days is like a common trope. And I've spoken to other people who are perhaps biased in the same way that I am. But I do feel like the average quality of the new entrant in crypto has decreased over time. Like in 2018, it actually felt like very good. Like you had like very mission aligned people who were also very competent. 2021, maybe you had like a split between that and token scammers. And then right now, I think it's like a pretty high percentage of people who are like, looking to profit a lot in a quick period of time without necessarily providing a lot of value.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you make it easier, like that was Solana's sort of like early, I don't know if you call it a moat, but it was really fucking hard to build. So you knew everybody that knew how to build on Solana was really good because they had to just figure it out. Now it's been made a lot easier. You know, you can do some tutorials, you can do a boot camp, but like Solana Turbine has been like producing a ton of engineers and getting eaten up pretty quickly. So there are avenues, but there's definitely a lot more people who kind of know Solana. And so it makes it a little more challenging, I think, to hire in that world. You just kind of have to find the guys that are just absolute killers. And I don't know the best way to do that. And especially you're looking for some unique minds that you're probably looking for people that are sort of passionate about what you're doing versus just like some paid labor.
Right.
So I think that may be a difference between you and a lot of people out there trying to hire. So now you're here. I think maybe we can talk a little bit about sort of the new stuff and then like sort of the future of what you're looking for and like what you're looking into. And that is like the recent announcement of Mountain Dell launching a token. Like you guys are launching a token launch platform. So let's try to help the listeners understand what you guys are building, and myself included, somebody who's very lay to this sort of stuff, and what it is and what the impact of what you're building might be for founders and people building on Solana.
Sure. Yeah. So how it works at a basic level is someone comes up with an idea, they bring it to MetaDAO's launchpad. It's some idea of how to spend money, whether that be building a project or building a fund or buying like the Constitution, right? Like Constitution DAO. And so they come with an idea of how to spend money or like how to allocate money. And then people fund this idea. So there's, once the launch starts, people have 7 days to put in USDC. And then at the end of 7 days, they are given a pro rata amount of the, of 10 million tokens. So like, yeah, if they put in 1% of the USDC, then they would get 100,000 tokens. And then it automatically takes 10% of the USDC and mints an additional 1 million tokens and provides that in liquidity in a Radium pool. And then the rest of the USDC and liquidity and the ability to mint new tokens is all sent to a new Futurki DAO. Yeah, so like, that's kind of how the system works. And then the team or like contributors would then raise proposals on some periodic basis, say like once a month or every 3 months, to spend that money. And then they can also raise proposals to be approved by the market to receive tokens. Like actually, me and my co-founder did at MetaDAO. We didn't get a pre-mine, and so we had to raise a proposal to MetaDAO to get an allocation. Yeah, so like why this is kind of a nice system is, on one hand, on the funder side, historically ICOs have been like pretty problematic. So like we had three major ICOs on Solana, which were Parrot, UXD, and Mango. All three of them raised more than $50 million. And in all three cases, the original people who put money in got back like 10 cents on the dollar or less. And like if you look at Parrot and UXD, actually most of the money was still there. Like most of the cash that was raised is still in the treasury. It's just that it was distributed not to the people who put money in originally. And Futarchy kind of fixes that, right? So like if people put money in and then say like people put in $1 million of USDC and then it's now controlled by the treasury, then if the founder just tries to like walk off with it, like they'd have to raise a proposal because it's in a DAO, it's not up to them. They'd raise a proposal to like receive that. Like the market is obviously going to reject that. Probably after that, the market is going to be like, okay, we should just liquidate the treasury and everyone get their money back. So yeah, it like potentially is more, it has properties that indicate that it'd be like more rug resistant than like previous types of ICOs, perhaps by an order of magnitude. And then on the other side, like the founders, why would you do this? Why would you kind of give the treasury to a DAO instead of just like in your own multi-sig? I think it's, because people have this rug protection, they're probably more likely to put in money. And maybe you also get people who wouldn't have put in USDC otherwise. And why that matters to you is because like you want a, like you get with this system a pot of money to build your product or to do whatever you're trying to do. And then a community of people who want you to win on day one. Because bag bias is real. And here it works in your favor rather than working against you.
No, that actually makes a ton of sense. Like sort of just to summarize what you're saying, it somewhat resembles like an ICO-ish and like traditional token launch platforms. Like you send your money to a group, they control all that funds, they decide how they're going to allocate it. They could change their minds whenever they want and it doesn't matter. They control the funds, they can walk away tomorrow. But you guys are offering primarily founders, or is this sort of, because it sounds like I could do what you're saying to raise on like an idea that's not necessarily a product. Maybe I want to go and build a like a public good or as well. This doesn't necessarily, or is this, are you, as the focus for like founders who are trying to launch a business but make it more fair?
I would say the focus is founders, but open to anything. I mean, I see this as just like a new, potentially better form of capital formation. Like, if you think about what ICOs were back in 2018, it was like global capital formation, which is a really, really cool idea. It's just that ICOs in their like mechanics didn't really work. But yeah, so you can think of this as like global capital formation for anything that requires global capital formation.
Yeah. And doing so, all that money goes to a DAO. So even the guy who like is doing the sort of like the fundraising, unless they put in their own cash to get some allocation, they don't touch that money. Like the community has to vote to allocate that capital. And they could vote to give it all back to themselves if something was off. So you're essentially just protecting everybody from the shady shit that's obviously happened since crypto started.
Right. Kind of like what Pump Fun did for meme coins. I mean, I guess people hate on Pump Fun, but actually Chase, you were here in last March. Do you remember pre-sales when people were like, just sending money to a Solana address?
Yes. I do. I mean, that was essentially what ICOs were for the most part. It was pretty much the same, except there was a shitty there was a shitty website alongside of it that actually sent you whatever garbage token once you sent your Ethereum to them. But yes, I remember. I can't believe that like people started doing that and actually sending money directly to those contracts. But yes, that was horrible.
If I recall correctly, someone received like $180 million worth of SOL and then just like staked the SOL. They're like, okay, my SOL now. And yeah, like Punk Fun, like people hate on it a lot, but at least it solved that problem, right? Like this is not as possible with Punk Fun. And like the notable projects that have like quote unquote rugged, like Libra, did not launch on Punk Fun. I think that's probably for a reason. So yeah, trying to do or like doing what Punk Fun did for meme coins, but like for, we'll call it like real projects, or like, yeah, projects that could actually eventually produce some cash flows.
Yeah, because you're obviously not going to attract people that have intentions of rugging, because this is like the exact opposite mechanism
right,
that they would want to happen. So you would just naturally get the people that are trying to do good. And now that I think about it, just having that, if you like get a few projects to launch and things work out and people start to be like, holy shit, like, look, we didn't lose our money. And like all of a sudden now maybe MetaDAO and your launch platform becomes like a mark, like a stamp of approval to people. It's like this sort of like trusted brand to say, oh, it launched on MetaDAO. Like we don't have to like be as concerned as we would in some other form of just giving our money away to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Just like how meme coin traders, if you talk to them, like a lot of them will not buy a token if the ticker does not end in pump, because they're like, if it's a pump token, I can trust it. If not, I can't.
Yeah. That's actually a really cool idea. I mean, I think generally having this sort of rug protection and having a couple successes along the way could potentially just be like people start to gravitate towards you, more and more people to be like, listen, we're somebody who's really serious. They're like, guys, we're not going to rug. We're going to use MetaDAO. The money, you decide if we get the money when we want to make decisions, versus us sort of like secretly doing whatever we want or just running away with your money. I think it's a really great idea, to be honest.
Yeah. And on that point, I mean, it's really lucky. I mean, that's pretty cool, because yeah, most launch pads have had the opposite problem of like adverse selection. Like that has historically been the huge problem with launch pads of like, okay, if you build this money faucet of like getting quick cash, like who's attracted to money faucets? Like the people you probably don't want launching on your platform. Versus here, this is like, okay, yeah, yes, you get cash to like build what you're trying to build, but it's not like you can just walk off with it. And so if you're a rugger, like if you're trying to just like essentially extract investors' money, you're probably not going to want to launch on a platform like this.
Right, exactly. And that's where I think that could become like a mark of a trusted project immediately just by launching on your platform. So that's really, this is the first I'm sort of like really diving into it. It's been like a crazy like few months, and markets aren't doing too well and everybody's focus is a little like off, including myself. But anyways, I was just looking, so MountainDAO is basically about to use your platform. Are they the first ones to use this platform?
Yes, they will be.
What's the brief sort of like TLDR on like their project and like and just sort of the their announcement or whatever, and what you guys are trying to like accomplish on this with this one?
Sure. Yeah. So they are building the first fund governed by FeefTurkey. And so, yeah, the idea is that, I mean, it's kind of funny given this is like a new method of capital formation, but like there are just plenty of projects that have gone or there are currently going through the existing VC pipeline, like the private market pipeline, that are just not going to be able to like go back and launch on this that are high quality. And so, yeah, it's a FeefTurkey native fund where investment decisions will actually be decided by the markets. And yeah, Edgar and Barrett, who are the co-creators of MountainDAO, are going to be like helping facilitate the process of introducing proposals to the DAO, like introducing the investment proposals.
So I guess I wouldn't necessarily consider a fund like founding a project itself. So like that is unique. It's like you're not building an app to make revenue. You're
right,
they're launching a token that's for a fund, and like all the people who delegate and pay that money are now the decision makers on who they fund. So they're basically creating a fund to sort of essentially become VCs in a way. The people who invest in them are the ones who are going to help them decide if they can get the money to fund certain projects.
Right. Kind of. I mean, this is like the DAO actually of like 2015, like the one that got hacked. this will kind of be like the DAO of Futurkey.
That's actually pretty sick. I didn't realize that that's what they were doing. So what's the mechanism here? Like you say, once that money is received, like, is it like once you like the mechanism where like people send their money and they receive the tokens and all these things, once they do that, all their cash gets transferred into this like wallet that's controlled by the DAO. Does anybody have control of that themselves, or is it all like software based or like blockchain based code that does these things?
Yeah, it's completely in a smart contract. I mean, Amazing. That smart contract is itself upgradable, and so you can say like the multi-sig that upgrades it does, but the team like it really is in a smart contract. It's not like a multi-sig that calls itself a DAO.
Right. And I mean, eventually that contract could go immutable once
it should, like, yeah.
Once there's a guarantee, sure. You know, I mean, I think the argument for a lot of people make like once you've had all your audits and once you've lasted like 2 or 3 years with no issues or bugs or like, you know, paying bug bounties and things, it's like, okay, this version's safe. We're going to go ahead and mark this as immutable. But that's cool, man. Like you're sort of just making sure that there's no one person that can just like run off with your money. And that's pretty big, because I think this industry has had enough sort of scams and duping that you guys are essentially creating something that has probably been needed for a long time. Now we'll just see if there's enough honest people out there who don't want to take traditional routes that want to leverage something, you know, like this.
Right. Because yeah, like if you think about it, crypto actually has this really good idea, which is community ownership, right? Like the two most successful projects in crypto, at least if you measure by market cap, are Bitcoin and Ethereum. Both of them did like quote unquote fair launch, where like essentially where a huge percentage of supply was allocated to pretty much anyone who like was there. As a result of that, like you have all these people that are part of this like pseudo religion shilling their bags, like shilling their product. And like, I think, yeah, it's Ethereum is a great case study as well, because it's like such a bad product, right? Like it's literally super slow and doesn't process many transactions. And yet it's been so dominant for so long. And it's like, yes, I'm building on Solana, obviously, because I believe in Solana, but yet there's like still metrics. Like I think on stablecoin market cap, Ethereum is like 10x Solana, despite being such a bad product. And I think, yeah, a big reason for this is because you have all these like people that own ETH who like, yeah, want their bags to win. And this takes that force. And then like you as a founder now have access to that force. Like, just like how I think MetaDAO, you talked about Barrett, like Barrett is a bag holder of MetaDAO. And he, as a result of that, I mean, I think he also cares about the idea, but like,
yeah,
he definitely has more like excitement and like wants to shill it more because yeah, there's like a financial piece to that.
Sharing in the upside is like one piece of it, but you add a new element where like the, you know, crypto has failed countless times on like community owned projects and governance and a lot of these things. Not to say there aren't some success stories out there and people trying to do really good, but this actually forces that behavior and it allows you to participate. And like if you want MountainDAO fund to fund the right projects that make you more money, then you'll participate in the governance there. So I think that's a pretty interesting scenario where I want to like as that investing in a fund like that, where I help decide what gets funded, I would participate in that versus like, here's XYZ proposal that like you probably don't care about. Actually, there's been some contentious proposals out there in the token governance world lately, but I think generally a lot of people often just don't vote at all because they're not interested. And this sort of allows more decision, more important. Maybe it's the more important type of decision making that happens. And maybe it's also because I'm a nerd and it's on chain. And like, I know that my vote will guarantee that this part of a smart contract is executed that allows a decision to be made, I think is more unique than the typical current way of governance and how it works. Mm-hmm. That sounds awesome, man. Like I'm excited. When does the MountainDAO stuff, is that going live anytime soon?
Yes, we're like doing marketing right now to get people excited about it because we want to maximize probability that it's a good launch. And then it should be live for funding, I believe, the first week of April.
Oh, amazing. So what, okay, you go there, you basically launch Mountain Dow in April, your launch pad's live. Like what are you looking forward to? And like, I don't know, by the end of the year for what you guys are trying to do with MetaDAO, and just anything that you're working on right now. Like what's the medium to long-term vision for you guys?
I really hope Launchpad works, because if it works, that would be like great for us and also like very aligned with our long-term vision, which is to make the world more rational. Yeah, allow our institutions to be more rational and like make better decisions that are like less misaligned and like less captured. If this becomes like the place for capital formation, like I think that could be really exciting, both for crypto projects, but also like for non-crypto projects. Like this could just be a place for capital formation. That would be a great thing if we could just get like, yeah, lots of projects using us, lots of like capital being formed on MetaDAO. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like I said, in my opinion, like if you get a couple really sort of high trust teams out there that end up executing, you're going to get more interest.
Right.
I feel like this is something that doesn't blow up out of the gate. You have to like, this will grow over time, but maybe by the end of the year, it's possible that you get some like really, really cool projects launching on this platform, which would be incredible. Because yeah. I do think MetaDAO and like all the stuff you guys are doing are some of the more interesting stuff that's going on right now, especially since everybody got so heavily focused on making money, but actually lost a lot of money instead. So, but you guys are just sort of just moving forward with just trying to create fair ways for shit to happen on chain, which is
right.
Really cool.
Although I would say, I mean, like making money. Yeah. I mean, here, like my key metric is, yeah, will the token, like I want the tokens on the platform to go up because that's ultimately what's going to drive excitement and people to come back to the product. Yeah.
I still think you can want to make money, but like that, if that's not your only motivation, I think is an important like difference there. Like you're like the value accrues from doing really cool shit back to the token versus like, it's only about like how much money can we make. I think there's a big difference there. And that's what you guys tend to be like, in my mind, like partially tackling. Anyways, that's sort of just like my little like view from this conversation so far. Thanks for hopping on. Like maybe actually before we pop off here, just since you've gone through this journey so far, what I like to do is sort of just if you could give any advice to future founders, again, even though MetaDAO is a little bit unique, like what would be some like advice you would give to somebody who is either just starting their founder journey or considering starting their founder journey on the blockchain? Just could be things to watch out for, things that like they should focus on, or just general advice to like future founders that hopefully are gonna end up through the Colosseum accelerator after the next hackathon.
My number one piece of advice is to launch on MetaDAO.
I mean, that's not bad advice.
Yeah, no, but yeah, in terms of not shilling my bags, I would say like for me, the things that have been helpful is, yeah, like my co-founder has been immensely helpful, like having a co-founder, someone else that's like, so you're not just completely alone in the pain that you experience, is nice. And like other things get handled, so you don't have to like do everything. I think watching the YC, YC has this lecture series, I think called How to Build a Startup on YouTube. I haven't watched all of them, but I watched a few of them. They've been like pretty helpful. And then also I think like, I mean, yeah, none of this is like revolutionary, but just asking founders who you look up to for advice. Like, for example, one person, I mean, yeah, there's so many who I talk to, probably look up to. Like, yeah, off the top of my head, like Stepan from Squads or Eugene from Ellipsis Labs or Ilya from Tensor. Like Tensor, for example, like they built, like it's incredibly hard to get PMF with a consumer product. They did it twice in a row. Like that's insane.
it is. They also failed three times before that, and they made it to that first one, and then they got a second one back to back. So, which I think is like more determination, and then after that, just like incredible like execution. I used to talk about them on my old podcast all the time as an example, because like they're just so impressive of a team.
Yeah. Actually, I think I listened to you did a chewing glass episode with them, right?
Yeah.
I think I was listening to that as I was like figuring out how to kill people on P-Turkey originally back in the 2023 like bear market days. But yeah, like I really look up to all of those people and plenty more, and so like I'll ask them their thoughts on things that we're doing, and they're generally super helpful. And like I didn't understand how much people actually want to be helpful. Like if they see like themselves in you, like if they respect what you're building, then I think they really do want to help. Just like they empathize with you. So like, don't be afraid to ask for help, maybe.
Yeah, I think the founder ecosystem on Solana is insanely supportive. Like, you're not the first person to tell me that. Like, you know, like everybody from Buffalo and Mert and just like all those guys out there, if you actually are doing something for real and you want some support, obviously, like yourself and like all these founders trying to do some really cool stuff can't talk to everybody. But like you said, if they recognize that you're out there grinding and hustling and just like see a little bit of themselves in you, then they're probably going to want to help, because, you know, somebody did that for them at some point in time. And it's sort of just like it's just this like circular thing that just feeds itself. And I hear it a lot in this ecosystem. At first, it used to be devs supporting devs, and like now it's moved into like it's all aspects. Founders are trying to help founders on a regular basis, so don't be scared to ask. You'd be surprised who will answer their DMs if they get like a legitimate message. But if you've probably heard from people, clearly state what you're looking for off the rip. Don't write pie and don't write a novel, because nobody's gonna respond to that shit.
Yeah, definitely don't write high. It's surprising to me how many, and some of them, yeah, like I'll even have a few mutuals with. If they have like 30 mutuals with me and they say hi, I will probably respond. But other than that, I just don't understand like what the process is of doing that.
Yeah, it's just like clearly state like, hey, I'm whoever, like I'm looking for X, Y, and Z. Do you think you could help me or talk to me? And like,
right, yeah.
And you have a higher chance of getting a response probably than anything else.
Yep.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for coming on. Like, I'm excited. I actually, you know, I'm a big Mountain Dew Maxi, so I'm excited to see the launch of this. And I'm also a big fan of Edgar and Barrett, good friends of mine. So I'm looking forward to, like, not only just for the success of like, what you have built, but also the success of how they're going to leverage your platform and potentially, like, launch a first fund using Futarchy, which is also just all of those things combined together are just super cool.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for popping on. And I will chat with you later, brother.
Thanks so much for having me on, Chase.
Cheers.
Cheers.